Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Checker flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game. And the Game Nashville app.
Pole sitter Joey Logano opts for the inside lane, eyes on the flag stand. The king, Richard Petty, is there, and the green flag is in the air.
Larson is loose, and Larson's going to spin. Loose off turn number four. Kyle Larson spins right in front of traffic.
Kyle Busch drifts up. He makes contact with Logano. Joey has to lift. Busch is away with the lead, but Logano, I guarantee, is not happy. Just a moment after I said that Brad Keselowski's afternoon has gone south in a hurry, he and Kyle Busch tangle at the exit of turn number two. Both of them spin down the Boeing backstretch.
Logano's got a good run. He looks to the inside. Now he tucks back in line. Inches off of the back bumper of Byron. Drives in deep. He makes contact. Byron's in the outside wall. He got hit from the back bumper of Logano, and Logano goes to the lead.
Dry spell will end this afternoon for Joey Logano. Off four, final time. Crowd on their feet, and Joey Logano has won at Darlington. His first win of the 2022 season.
Now 24 car looks pretty loose.
Up into the white.
It's the last lap.
Oh,
he hit it.
Oh,
into the wall.
There you go.
Logano goes
You're
by.
Clear. Wow.
White flag. One lap to go. Sponsored by Credit One Bank.
Wow. Holy.
You saw it coming. That 24 was loose. He was having to back up the corner a little bit, but man, he got hit pretty hard there.
The 22 didn't back the corner
back
up.
No. Nope. He got the Fincher 8 ahead of Reddick.
And there you go. That is how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network and on Fox. Welcome in to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. How you doing? Chase McCabe here with you. It's all presented by the Nashville Fairground Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway. You can, of course, check everything out at ChasingCheckersRadio.com and wherever you get your podcasts, as well as we talk a little bit of racing here on the show. Joey Logano is an aggressive driver. I think everybody knows that. If you don't, then you haven't been paying attention. You haven't been watching NASCAR for many, many years. But that's what he does, and that's why he wins a lot of races. And some people like it, and some people don't. And he looked at it as William Byron got into him earlier in the race. You're going to hear from both drivers on that. And ultimately, Logano was the one that had the last laugh and got the win. Chris Buescher, the driver of the number 17, also going to join us at the bottom of the hour. So look forward to talking with him. But I'm curious of what people think. If you want to tweet at us at @Chasen_checkers, I'm at Chase on Game on Twitter as well. Do you think that Logano was justified to pull the bump and run, or was it a bad move? Some of the fans there at Darlington were booing him. They didn't like that move very much, but Steve Post of the Motor Racing Network caught up with Joey Logano in Victory Lane, and they talked about those closing laps.
Describe the last few laps of that race.
Just an incredible race there at the end with William, and I don't know if he meant to get into me and fence me, but he did. And at that point, I felt like it was game on, and was able to get back to him there last few laps, pushing really hard, and just knew that was my shot to win the thing, and I had to take it. So, man, so proud of this team. So cool to win in this car. This is my first quarter midget, man. This is the beginning. And to see it in victory lane, I'm just so proud. And my family's here. My mom, my dad, happy Mother's Day. And my sister's here. Everybody's here. So my wife's not here, unfortunately, but and my kids. But this is a very special day to be able to get this one in victory lane and celebrate as at least a few of us here.
Joey, last week at Dover, certainly not a week you were looking for. How important is it to have such a good bounce back and bounce back after a subpar week?
Such a huge recovery. Last week was lows of lows, and the week before that we wrecked in Talladega. So to come out of here, get the pole, get a stage win, and then ultimately win the race at the end, I couldn't be more excited about what we just did. And the guys did an amazing job back here. Pit crew was great. Pit stall helped a lot. And winning at Darlington means so much. This is one that's come very close to me a few times and never been able to get it done. So proud to get it.
Describe, let's go a little further into that. Darlington, this is a track that every race car driver wants to win. The legends have won here. Just go a little deeper on what it means to you.
Oh, man. Well, I mean, you kind of can look at it a throwback weekend, right? And and there's so much footage that everybody plays throughout the weekend of all the old races, all the legends that have raced here and say they've won here. You know, it's nice to put your name on that list. And you know, this is where it all started for NASCAR, right? Or a lot of it did, at least. So you know, to get one here. And like I said, this quarter midget, I said it on the front stretch, but it goes to show all the young kids racing, whether it's quarter midgets or Bandoleros, Legends cars, whatever, Outlaw cars, whatever it may be, you know, stick to your dreams. You know, that was advice that Mario Andretti gave me when I was a kid. He gave me a signed poster and it said, never stop chasing your dreams. And this is what it can happen. So pretty cool.
That's Joey Logano from the Motor Racing Network with Steve Post, and appreciate that. But listen, he said he did what he had to do. And I think what's curious, and we're going to get into this a little bit further in just a few minutes, is with this next-gen car and these drivers still figuring it out, the fact that you've had so many winners this year, and I feel like the last few years we've said this, that, hey, this could happen, but you know, what if they do have 16 winners? There are only 16 spots in the playoffs. Or more than 16 winners, I should say. It's going to be really hard to point your way in with as many winners as they have. And so, you know, he kind of talked about how important it was to get after it and try and get that win. But on the other side of it was William Byron, and he caught up with Jamie Little of Fox Sports and was obviously not happy.
And William Byron leading right there at the end. And we just heard from Joey, and it sounded almost like it was a retaliation thing. Did you guys have something happen before that?
No, I mean, we were really close off of two, and I think it spooked him and got him tight, and he was right against the wall, and I got the lead. And he's just an idiot. I mean, he does this stuff all the time. I've seen it with other guys. And I mean, he drove in there 10 mile an hour too fast. And with these next-gen cars, you know, he slammed me so hard it knocked the whole right side off the car and no way to make the corner. So, yeah, he's just a moron. He can't win a race, so he does it that way. So, I don't know. Well, yeah, it was close racing on the restart. We were faster than him. Obviously, at the end, right rear started to go away, and yeah, he didn't even make it a contest.
William Byron would finish 13th after the incident with Logano on the final lap. And again, I get it. I get why he's not happy. He has every right to not be happy. He looked like he was going to win his third race of the season. Things have been going quite well for William Byron. We talked to him last week. You could hear it, that how excited he was. But ultimately, Joey Logano takes that away from him. And that is the question. You know, was he justified in doing it, or was it the wrong move? I think some drivers have more of a checkers or wreckers mentality than others. But Logano went into more detail in his post-race media availability when he was asked about the bump and run.
No, I mean, to me, you know, I probably wouldn't have gone straight to the bump and run if it wasn't for how he got the lead. You know, he came off of turn two and drove me right into the wall. At that point, I'm lucky my car's not broken, and I'm a very angry driver. And I think anyone in the field would probably agree if someone's going to be willing to do that to you, well, the gloves are off at that point. And I knew if I got back there what I was going to do. And what I had to do. And so, you know, that was the way he wanted to race. So I said, let's go. You know, if he passed me clean, it wouldn't have looked like that. But that was a situation that was there in front of me. And fortunately, I was able to get back there. And he obviously knew it was coming. He checked up into the corner pretty early. So he obviously knew it was coming. But, you know, I did what I had to do. Had to win the race. It was very important to win and get into the playoffs, obviously. You know, and what everything means to winning here. And like I said, all those things go into the equation of making the decision.
So, again, he's doubled down on basically saying that, you know, but it was payback and Byron had it coming. And that's how he races, that he's an angry driver when something like that happens. And, you know, if you believe that, then okay. I mean, I didn't really see the incident that Joey's describing. I mean, it's hard racing. It's Darlington. You're going to catch the wall, get the Darlington stripe. But he felt pretty, you know, good about it and saying that Byron had raced him that way, so he was going to race him that way. But as Logano continued to say, it's a dead issue for him, but I wonder if it is for Byron.
We're equal. We're equal, man. You put me in the wall first. It's like I said, it's game on. At that point in my eyes, it's equal. If I punted him out of the way for no reason there, well, to win the race without him doing something to me in the past at any point, which he never has in the past. Yeah, it's not like he meant to fence me. I don't think he meant to run me in the wall. The facts are he did. And it's racing, and it kind of took the win out of my eyes and out of my hands. And so at that point, like I said, you're going to have to do what you have to do to get the lead back in the same manner he got it. And so that's kind of how that works.
Now, one thing that I think is funny is like a driver like Joey, who's sitting there with the trophy, he's won the race and he's going, hey, we're even now. You know, he got me, I got him. We're all good. We move on. That's racing. That's his point of view. William Byron finished 13th. He didn't even get a top five out of it. If I'm William Byron, it started a whole new issue. Now, I don't know. Byron hasn't come across to me as the type of guy that gets payback. I don't know if that's really his style, but I'd be curious if this is one that he doesn't file away, and at some point in time when maybe it's a position where he could race Logano a little cleaner, he won't. Because Byron, you know, to me, hasn't really rubbed anybody the wrong way. I mean, he's a racer, but he's not overly aggressive by any means. Logano certainly is. But I don't think this whole we're equal and we're even thing is really going to fly with William Byron moving forward. But certainly entertaining nonetheless. The results for you, Joey Logano does get the win. His first points win of the year. Remember, he did win at the Coliseum, the first race in the next-gen car. Tyler Reddick comes home second. Nice run for him once again. Justin Haley, strong run for that team. In third, Kevin Harvick fourth. Chase Elliott fifth. Christopher Bell sixth. Michael McDowell seventh. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. eighth. Austin Dillon ninth. Daniel Suarez rounds out the top 10, followed by Eric Almirola, Ty Dillon, William Byron, Harrison Burton, Todd Gilliland, Chris Buescher, Ryan Blaney, Austin Cindric, Cody Ware, and Chase Briscoe. Let's hear from the second place driver with MRN, Tyler Reddick.
Take me through what you were looking at out your front window trying to track those guys down.
We were a little bit on the tight side most of the day in our 3G Chevrolet, but kind of allowed us to, you know, move around a little bit and not totally be reliant on one groove or another. But Joey was doing a really good job there at the end, kind of just ended up hit the line that he was used to run William down was the line that I was using. When he took that away in 1 and 2, it made it really difficult. So I was just having to really try and get creative in 3 and 4, and it was just small gains every time. And we were a little bit better, but just, really fortunate that, getting out of the box wasn't one of my best pit outs. Getting up to pit road speed throughout the day, and, I mean, it was only a small margin at the camera line, difference between having the lead and coming out second, and that really changed the outcome of our race.
That's the third top three finish for Reddick this year, his fourth top five, fifth top 10. He's been very consistent. He's led 206 laps this year, but still doesn't have a win in the Cup Series to show for it. I mean, here, just to give you a comparison, he led 43 laps last year, 30 laps in 2020 when he started running in the Cup Series full time. He's in three top fives through both of those seasons, so six total. He's already got four and led the 206 laps, like I said. He's close. That team is close. They have obviously turned a corner, and I believe that they're going to find victory lane sooner rather than later. Coming up next here on Chasing Checkers, I want to get into how important wins are, especially for somebody like a Tyler Reddick or some other drivers that you will hear from, because it's tight right now. With the standings the way they are. We'll do that coming up next as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway on ESPN 102.5 The Game and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
Well, I mean, I don't really feel like I need to have those conversations with Joey. I mean, he's experienced. He knows what's on the line, where we're at, and what he needs to do. We got ran into the fence off at 2 on the restart. It's probably the only reason the 24 was in front of us to begin with. Obviously, our car was much better on the long haul. Anyone that got the lead you know, is able to at least hold on for a while. And then eventually, if your car doesn't hold on a long run, then it's going to be hard to fight them off. So fortunately, our car was good on the long run, and we were able to recover from losing the lead there. And, ultimately, there's a lot of guys with wins, and to your point, we aren't leading the points. So I think Joey knows where he's at and he's going to do what he needs to do.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville, also 106.3, 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairground Speedway. That's Paul Wolf, the crew chief for Joey Logano, and talking about the bump and run. And that last little phrase there at the end, Chase McCabe here with you, he says he knows what he needs to do. He knows where we're at, and I'm not going to question that. And that is the question, though, for a lot of these drivers of where they're at right now with things, because you've only had this year two multi-race winners. William Byron, who was, again, that could have been a big game changer going for three. He's got two wins. Ross Chastain has two wins on the year. But Chase Elliott has one win. Joey Logano now has a win. Ryan Blaney hasn't found victory lane yet. I'm going through the standings. Kyle Busch has a win. Bowman, Larson, Hamlin. Truex has not found victory lane yet. Briscoe has a win. Cindric has a win. And then the rest of the standings here, the top 16, Christopher Bell, Austin Dillon, Kevin Harvick, Eric Almirola. So the question is, can they point race their way in? Or is it really going to take a win for these drivers to make the playoffs? Kevin Harvick came home fourth and caught up with MRN after the race.
And we caught up with Kevin Harvick, who came home in the fourth spot today. So given how the day started for you guys, are you satisfied with the fourth place run today?
Yeah, I think we overachieved a little bit today with our Ream Ford Mustang. So the guys did a great job on pit road. We got a little bit lucky with the caution coming out while we were in the middle of our cycle, and we're able to capitalize on a couple restarts there and put ourselves in position to hang on there at the end.
And you heard him say there that they overachieved a little bit, but for a driver like him that, for whatever reason, they just haven't been as competitive as we've seen in the past. I mean, they're close to not being in right now. They're 27 points to the good at the moment in 15th place in the playoff standings. They obviously need to find victory lane. They need some help. And Darlington has been a track that's been good to him, but was unable to get it done. I mentioned on the other side of things, Chase Elliott, who got his first win at Dover last week, two stage wins, 9 top tens. He's been very consistent. And once again, even though they had some bad luck, was able to come home and salvage a top 5.
How are you guys able to recover there for a top 5 finish?
Unfortunately, I didn't give up a ton of time there with that, so that was good. Just kind of depending upon how your lanes would go on a restart. And then after that, you kind of fall in line there and hope a guy in front of you messed up or something. And if not, you might have an opportunity there real late in a run. And then other than that, hope your pit stops are really fast. Hope your restarts went your way. And outside of that, I thought everybody looked about the same.
So the question is, and that courtesy of MRN, the question is, do you need to have more than one win to get into the playoffs? Because I think in some cases they're thinking that you might have to do that. Joey Logano discussed that in his post-race press conference, if things are really in must-win-now mode.
I don't know if it's must-win yet, but it's getting closer to it, like you said. You know, week by week, as you get different winners. I do think at this point, though, you see a lot of the same characters up front now. Like, you kind of can say, okay, here's some of the stronger cars that are consistently running up front. And then you may sprinkle in a couple every now and again that hit on something that weekend, right? And so I think as the season goes along, you're going to see more consistency in certain teams where they've kind of got a good mile and a half package or a good short track package or whatever it may be, and there might be a couple of sprint in there, but I think that the normal cast of characters will show themselves more and more as the season goes and everything gets refined, I think.
I guess to that point, do you anticipate more that a team or two
could break away from the pack, or do you think the kind of parity we've seen is going to continue all the way through the season?
I think there's a couple teams right now that have an advantage at the moment. Now, how long that lasts and how quickly things change in our sport, it's hard to say how long that lasts. But there's definitely, you know, two teams probably that stand out in my mind that are stronger than the rest right now.
So do things even out, you know, like you've seen before. Like William Byron, again, was one lap away from getting his third win of the season. I think Hendrick Motorsports is one of the teams that Logano is likely referencing because of how they've run this year. All four of their drivers have found victory lane. But or do we see, you know, more guys that don't have wins? I mean, think about this. As I just went through the standings, Blaney hasn't won yet. I believe he's going to. Truex hasn't won yet. I believe he's going to. Tyler Reddick has not found victory lane. He's out of the playoff standings right now. I think he might. Harvick, Austin Dillon has had some solid runs too. Christopher Bell has had some solid runs. Eric Jones is another one. Daniel Suarez. Chris Buescher, who we're going to talk to in a few minutes. I think Kurt Busch, Brad Keselowski, who we're not even talking about at all right now, I think there definitely could be some drivers that jump up there and get some wins, and you could get towards the playoffs where you might be over 16, and that could certainly happen. You know, Chase Briscoe was on our show last week, and I made the comment of, well, you got the win, now you're in the playoffs, and he kind of corrected me on that.
Yeah, a little bit. I still don't think it's a guarantee right now just because you got to win that you're going to be in the playoffs. You know, with how many winners we've been having, there could definitely be, I think, more than 16 winners when it all comes down to it at the end of the regular season. So I think you still got a points race a little bit. But, I mean, this you know, kind of format they were in, wins mean so much. You know, even going into playoffs, you get 5 playoff points every time you win a race. So it's definitely important to go get wins, and you got to try to take advantage of a win opportunity every time you get.
So, and I think this type of parity, so to speak, is good for the fans. The fans are going to see exciting races because the aggression is going to go up with these drivers. They know that it's checkers or wreckers, and ultimately that's what NASCAR wanted. NASCAR wanted more emphasis on winning, and I think you've seen that with the playoff system, and now you're seeing better racing, in my opinion, with this new car and with some of the tracks that we have, you know, coming up over the course of the next month. I think it's a lot of diversity. I mean, you're going to see I think it's going to be fun, too, with the racing that you're going to see. I mean, you're on a mile-and-a-half intermediate this week at Kansas. They pause for the All-Star race to go to Texas. Then you have the Coke 600, the longest race of the year. I want to see how these new cars hold up under 600 miles. But that's a mile-and-a-half. Then you go to Gateway, Worldwide Technology Raceway, for the first time, which is a 300-mile event. So that is an unknown because they haven't been there. Sonoma, a road course, and then you come here to the Nashville Super Speedway and the Ally 400, the 1.33-mile, 400 miles for that one, and then another road course in July. So things are – and then you got to go back to Atlanta for what I guess is going to be a Super Speedway-style race once again for 400 miles. So you have a lot of diversity when it comes to racetracks, which I think is, again, good for the fans and is exciting as well. Coming up next, let's talk to Chris Buescher. He's the driver of the number 17 for Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing, who, of course, will be running this weekend at Kansas in a track that's been decent for him over the years. So we'll get his thoughts on that and much more as you listen to Chasing Checkers, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Fairground Speedway. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
We're back here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're on the Game Nashville app and also 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. Chase McCabe here with you, and it's all presented by the Nashville Fairground Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and the Nashville Super Speedway. And we said we had a driver coming up. We say hello to Chris Buescher from RFK Racing. Chris, how you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on here.
Yeah. So let's start with that team name that I just mentioned, RFK, Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. What's it been like working with Brad Keselowski so far this season?
Yeah, it's been really good. We've really embraced the change and the newness, and everything that's been going on around here has been really neat. Brad's a really, really sharp individual. He's very, very talented, very motivated, and reminds me a lot of Jack in a lot of ways. And I think it's been cool to see his insight and his direction come in here and get stuff rolling and point in the right direction, and you know, continue to build up some stronger weekends, stronger runs. And like I said, it's been really neat to see him come in. I give him a ton of credit because I don't know how he does it. I don't have enough time in a day, and I don't have half as much going on as he does. So really impressive job. Really excited to see the first third of the season off to a really good start and continuing to progress.
Now, you know, as you mentioned, he's obviously a part owner now, so he's looking at things from a position that he never has before, outside of his truck team, but, you know, the competition side. But for you as drivers, you guys speak that language to each other. I mean, what are some things that maybe you've watched him do? You both go to Daytona. It's good with the duels and winning. You won the second duel. He won the first duel. But what are some driver things that you guys talk about that you're able to pick up on?
Yeah, I think it is a unique situation for him, right? Because he is a teammate, and you know, selfishly, you want to do good for yourself. But it's been cool because as a part owner, he also wants success for the 6 and the 17 team. And not that you wouldn't as teammates, you always want your teammates to do well, but he's definitely got more skin in the game. And I think that's, really, really helped him give good help, good advice. And I say that's what's helped him. He may be giving good advice all through the years as just a teammate, but he's been really good to me and helped me understand some of the tracks that had been tougher on me. And I go back to Phoenix as my go-to because it's a track that I've struggled at a lot and hadn't really ever had a good day there to use as a benchmark for what I'm after the next time. And we went to the test there. He told me a handful of things to try and work on and focus on, and some things that I had focused on, he said, leave that be. Don't worry about it. And you know, that ended up making us really, really strong. We ended up with a top 10 day there, which is way better. Almost felt like a win compared to some of our previous races there. So that's happened several times through the year already, and I can really appreciate that as a guy that's been in this sport, I think, my seventh year now. I'm definitely not a rookie, but I am constantly learning from the guys that have been around and the champions of our sport.
We're talking to Chris Buescher of RFK Racing, the driver of the number 17, and you mentioned that. You're not a rookie. You've been in the Cup Series for a while, but everybody is a rookie to an extent this year because of the next gen car. And as you mentioned, the organization and trying to grow as a whole, but just from that standpoint, what has that learning process been for you of learning this next gen car?
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure. And, you know, we haven't had much practice to go off of. We've had very few tests along the way. So it's been a unique season trying to get used to this new car, and we're definitely making some good headway. It's maybe haven't figured out quite as quickly as I would have liked, or we would have liked as a company. But we're still getting after it. We're still studying, still trying to find that feel each and every week. And I think we've worked out a lot of the early bugs with it across the industry. You know, I think we're just as an organization working on trying to fine tune some of the speed week to week and figure out some of the different characteristics of the car at different racetracks and what it really wants to go fast.
What do you think this car can do for the industry as a whole? Because I know from NASCAR's point of view, they've talked about that. We've seen new owners come into the sport. There's obviously a cost element, and you know, I look at a team just like RFK of you know, Jack wanting to continue to be successful and being one of those teams that has been in the sport for a long time and wants to continue to be in the sport. So how do you look at it from, even though you're the driver, but that's all very important, the business side of it and what it can do for that.
Yeah, it definitely is. And, you know, I'm probably not the most educated on the business side to give you the best answer, but I will say that from what I picked up, that the motto of this new car is allowing new owners to come in, understanding that it will be expensive at first, but it should help control the cost in the long run and make the teams healthier in the long run to be around longer and to be able to make it you know, more competitive for cars that may not have had the budget that the super teams had in years past. So I think there's a lot in that regard. I think the competition level has closed up a lot. You know, I think it's made it to where we've had some really close finishes. We've had the entire field really tight. We've had less cars doing a lap down. So it is. It's tying up a lot of those little areas that could end up making us a healthier sport at the end of the day. But, you know, beyond that, it's probably a handful more things you can see, but I'm just not down in the weeds enough to give you the best info.
We're talking to Chris Buescher here on Chasing Checkers. All right, I got to give you props for your Darlington throwback scheme. I loved the old 17 with Matt Kenseth. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it came out awesome. That was a pretty cool paint scheme, a cool throwback to Matt Kenseth, and for 2004, you know, it was pretty good timing with him just getting inducted in the Hall of Fame. So, congratulations to him on that, and. You know, really appreciative of our sponsor, Socios.com was our sponsor for the weekend, and they took the opportunity to open up a fan vote and let the fans decide between, I think it was three choices on which throwback they wanted to see. And so it was not something that they just said, hey, we want to do this one right here, and that's that. We really let our fans have input into it, and that's what was chosen. So. Not only on our car, but the six car as well. Their Mark Martin back was voted on and chosen by fans for our Socios paint scheme as well. So came out really sharp, looked awesome on the racetrack. A little bit different with the number moved around, but I think it was pretty easy to see what it was based around, and it was cool to have everybody in black and yellow coming down pit road as well. So really cool, really good opportunity, good timing. Like I said, with Matt getting in. Inducted in the Hall of Fame, pretty sweet time to be able to run his throwback paint scheme.
So how excited are you to go to Kansas this weekend? I know this is a track that you've had some pretty good runs at as of late, and as again you were talking earlier to figure this new car out, but what are your thoughts on Kansas this weekend?
I always like going to Kansas. It's like you just said, it's been a good track for me through the years. I think it's been a good track for RFK. It's a fun racetrack, and I think that helps a lot. It's widened out a lot in the past couple of years to where we can run the bottom. We can run all the way up against the fence. There's a few different lines in between. It just gives you the option as a driver to move around and find something and be better than that other driver around you. So I think that's the opportunity to have options is what makes it a lot of fun for me. You know, our mile and a half at the beginning of the year, we still need a little bit of work, but we have learned a ton since those races. And so I am optimistic that as we head into this one that we're going to be really strong.
It's fast, too. I mean, it seems like you guys get a lot of speed.
Yes, very fast. For as worn out as the surface is, it has a ton of speed in it at the same time.
Well, best of luck at Kansas this weekend, Chris, and best of luck the rest of the way. We'll see you in about a month here in Nashville for the Ally 400, so looking forward to that.
Yep, look for that one as well. So we'll see you there, and in the meantime, we'll go out there and go get us a win.
Chris Buescher, the driver of the number 17 for Roush Fenway Keselowski Racing. Appreciate him for taking the time to join us before Kansas this weekend. And you heard me mention the Ally 400. Music City is about to be overwhelmed by a symphony of speed. The Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race weekend back at the Nashville Super Speedway June 24th through the 26th. You can get your tickets now. Just go to NashvilleSuperspeedway.com or call 1-866-RACE-TIX. Coming up next, we get you set for the Kansas Speedway this weekend. I'll give some thoughts on that as you listen to Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, and also 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.
If you've missed any of today's show, just search Chasing Checkers on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform.
And welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5, The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois. You can also hear us on 106.3 FM in Nashville. Be sure to check that out when you're driving around. I was out at the Nashville Super Speedway not too long ago. Could hear it just fine. And this show, of course, presented by the Nashville Super Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, and also the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Jace McCabe here with you as Kansas will be the scene for the Cup Series and NASCAR this weekend. If you are listening to us in Nashville, you can hear that race starting at 1 o'clock on 102.5 The Game. But this is an interesting track. It was one of those tracks that I didn't love at first, but I think with the rules package that they've had the last few years, now with the new car, I think that's going to make it even better. You know, the racing has certainly improved there, and you just heard Chris Buescher talking about it, that's a good place for him. It's a good place for a lot of drivers, but one thing that I'm interested in is where the groove is going to be, and you know, these dirt guys, these rim riders that like running up against the wall like we saw last week at Darlington, you know, this could be a track for them. Kyle Larson discussed potentially running the fence at Kansas.
So I think at Kansas, I think Reddick did a test there, and I remember him tweeting something about how he just ran right next to the wall the whole time. And so I imagine it's probably pretty easy to run next to the wall, so I think it may be less of a multi-groove track, I think. But, yeah, we'll see. You know, I love Kansas. It's definitely one of my favorite tracks, and it does have multiple lanes typically. But, yeah, if that top gets going really fast, it does make it hard to pass. So, you know, I'd like to hope that we can run the bottom and middle and things like that. But, yeah, I know Reddick will be against the fence anyways.
See, and I love watching that because it's such a skill, you know, of being right there with a paper-thin margin right up against the wall. And, you know, drivers like Larson and Christopher Bell and Reddick and Byron, you know, they're so good at doing that. And, you know, pretty much everyone has kind of learned that you have to. That's a part of today's racing. But I'd be curious to see what kind of line they're going to run, you know, at Kansas coming up this weekend, because I think it's going to be exciting. And I'm curious to see how this car, you know, goes, you know, runs on it. I would say California Fontana is maybe the closest on the circuit right now. I mean, they don't go to Chicago anymore, but and we saw some pretty good racing out there. So Vegas could be a similar track as well. But I think this new car performs well on these types of tracks, and I want to continue to see it. And you know, Joey Logano is one that you know you can potentially watch there. But I'll tell you who else. The guy that he moved out of the way last week to win, I think William Byron could certainly have a good run at the Kansas Speedway, and he feels like they will.
But yeah, I mean, we've been to a couple high speed racetracks. I think Vegas has been it's been a long time since we went to Vegas, but we're obviously good there. We finished fifth and had a good result. So I'd see us being strong at Kansas for sure. I just haven't put much thought into it.
And you see, you heard him reference Vegas as being a similar track, a lot of high speeds. Chris Buescher was talking about that in our last segment with him, that, you know, that it's a fast track at Kansas. And, you know, this new car, I think, is conducive to a lot of different conditions, but a fast track is just another one of them. And that's why I think you've seen some of the racing that you have through the course of the year and why it's been entertaining and competitive over the course of the season. Is because of how they've built this car. So, you know, I know there's a lot of tweaks, and every driver we've had on here has talked about the next gen car and kind of what they're learning from it and what's next from it. And, you know, the job that NASCAR has done tweaking on it and making some improvements and listening to the drivers, which obviously they're the ones doing the thing. So you got to listen to them. But I just think it's added a different element of excitement to the sport right now. And, you know, this is my favorite time of year. I mean, coming up, you know, this weekend. IndyCar is going to be at the Indy Motor Speedway running the road course as they get ready for the Indianapolis 500. You know the speed that they have there, and the fact that you just you have both series that I think are relevant again and exciting is good for the sport. You know, Memorial Day Sunday is one of my favorite days in racing because I'll watch a little bit of Monaco. I'll get up and then watch the Indy 500 and during the day, and then spend my night watching the Coca-Cola 600 from Charlotte. And it's my favorite. And, you know, you're going to hear a lot more IndyCar flavor coming up here in the next few weeks as we get ready for the 500 and we get ready for the Music City Grand Prix coming up in August, the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix coming up in August. I just think this is a really good time for the sport of auto racing, not just NASCAR, not just IndyCar, but everything in between as well. So, but more on Kansas and with the speed and everything that you, you know, we're expecting to see. Tyler Reddick, who I believe could certainly be in contention again this weekend. It feels like he has been lately, but you know, he notes how windy it gets at Kansas, and that can make it tough.
Just the wind's blowing around pretty good. You know, that certainly is a factor and really makes the track treacherous and unforgiving. The playoff race we had there last year, that was some of the craziest racing I've ever been a part of on a mile and a half, where the wind pretty much felt like it was picking your car off the ground and shoving it one way or the other. So, you know, it'll depend on the wind based on, you know, how the tire tests went. You know, I think I'm not really expecting it to be, you know, super chaotic. You never know, though. You know, it depends on the wind, who hits it right, who misses it. This car is definitely the finer line. If you miss the balance of this race car on a mile and a half, a big track like that, they're really hard to drive.
That's another thing. The margin of error on this car, if you miss it, you miss it. And you've seen some really good teams miss it at times this year, which I think has opened up the door, you know, for other drivers and other teams and shows you the parity within the sport right now. Now, what I'm curious of is as we go along, are you going to have the better teams figure it out like we've seen in the past? The answer is probably yes. But I do hope that the opportunity remains there for, you know, some of these smaller teams. Looking at some of the odds for the Advent Health 400 from the Kansas Speedway, no surprise, Kyle Larson is the favorite at plus 600. I am a little surprised he's only got one win this year. I mean, he just hasn't run as well. We haven't seen the dominance that we saw from him last year. He's been consistent, but I would look for him to be a factor this week at Kansas. Chase Elliott, Kyle Busch tied at plus 800. Denny Hamlin, William Byron at plus 900. Martin Truex Jr. And Ross Chastain at plus 1,000. Last week's winner, Joey Logano, and teammate Ryan Blaney, plus 1,200, according to BetMGM. Reddick is plus 1,600. I would definitely throw a little bit on the driver of the number 8 car. Eric Jones is also an interesting one at plus 3,300. So we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out. It's hard to predict with this new car, but, you know, I went through the schedule earlier in the show and some of the tracks that are coming up. This is the last race before the All-Star race, as they've put the All-Star race back before the Coca-Cola 600 like it used to be, but it will be at the Texas Motor Speedway on Sunday, May 22nd, starting with the All-Star Open, and then, of course, the All-Star race just after that. And then the Coke 600, 600 miles of racing around the Charlotte Motor Speedway, and also, you know, the Indianapolis 500 that same day, which, as I was just talking about, is probably my favorite day of racing, maybe outside of Daytona 500, which is still awesome for sure. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. Appreciate Chris Buescher for joining us and all of you for listening as well. And thanks to our sponsors, both the Nashville Super Speedway, the Nashville Fairground Speedway, Apple Collision Centers, for coming on board. If you miss any of our shows, remember, you can subscribe to the podcast. Just search for Chasing Checkers on Google, on iTunes, on Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, and it can download right to your device. You can also hear episodes at thegamenashville.com or chasingcheckersradio.com whenever you like. And we air Saturday mornings at 8 on 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, and Sundays at 8 on ESPN 102.5 The Game in Nashville. You'll also hear a bonus episode just before the race in Nashville on Sunday at 1 o'clock, or at 12 o'clock, I should say, before we shift to MRN's coverage at 1. So enjoy the rest of your week. We'll be back at it next week here on Chasing Checkers, ESPN and 106.3 The Game in Nashville, and 92.1 The Axe in Mattoon, Illinois.